Morning, church. How are we doing? Good. Well, my name's James. I'm one of the pastors here, and I am so excited for this morning. I love church, and I love gathering. I love the people out there online that get to gather, but I particularly love this Sunday every year. This is what we call Youth Sunday. Our students just went away for about 2 weeks, and we brought all of them back. And we brought them back with stories and excitement. We brought them back with testimonies and to lead worship. And we get to share that with our big church today. Are you guys excited? Good. So I'm not going to talk for very long. I want to do two things. One, I just want to recognize all of our students and our leaders that went to Idaho. So if you went on that trip, would you please stand up? You'll notice the shirt. Stand up. Ooh. All right, you guys sit back down now. And I want to share just a word that we had throughout our trip, and that is this word confess. We were challenged to confess Jesus to people. We were challenged to tell people about Jesus, and it has been this beautiful challenge for me as well to tell people why you love Jesus. And this isn't just for our students, it isn't just for missionaries, this is for all of us. And so as you hear these testimonies, as you worship, I want to give you that word, confess, this morning. Do you get to talk about Jesus with people? And if not, don't feel guilt, just start doing it. It's beautiful. So this morning, if you would please worship with me, stand with us, we're going to sing and worship and honor God this morning.
Good morning, church. I'd like to thank you guys for welcoming us back, and we're so excited to share our testimonies and share all the stories that we brought back with us on this trip. So if you guys would worship with us.
That I would Hello and good morning. I'm Sally, and today I just wanted to share how God gave me a family and truly saved my life. So I was born in a small village in China called Shangrao Zhongji, and when I was only one day old, my biological parents decided to abandon me on the side of the road. That's when a street official found me and placed me in an orphanage, and that's where I spent the first 2 years of my life. But meanwhile, there was a lovely American couple who was looking for a little girl to complete their family. They've always wanted a child from China, so by the grace and the power of God, they found an adoption agency called the Chinese Children's Adoption International. That is where they did a ton of paperwork, and that paperwork was sent to China, where people would match babies to parents. And my parents prayed that God would make the match, and he did. And I was their missing piece in their life. And with God's provision, he gave my parents enough money to travel across the world just to come and get me. So I met my parents around the age of 2, and obviously I don't remember much. They were just the parents I grew up knowing. However, I did have a lot of internal identity issues just because I didn't look like my parents, who were white, and I didn't look like my older brother, who was previously adopted from the Marshall Islands, and he has a darker skin complexion. And I just didn't know who I was or who I wanted to be. So I kept asking and questioning, like, what would my life be like if I was with my real parents? Like, would I be happier? Would I be angry? And at this point, God was telling me to do my research, and I did. And there was a policy in China that didn't get abolished until 2016. That was only 5 years ago, where families could only have one child. And they tend to keep the males just because they could carry on the family name for more boys, more happiness. So it wasn't uncommon to find baby girls on the side of the road. And with further research, I found out that they didn't want to abandon their children, rather they were forced. In fact, they were forced to have pregnancy tests 4 times a year, and if they found out that a woman was pregnant, they would terminate that baby. But God had a different plan for me. He saved me from that orphanage, and he saved me with giving me the family and the parents that I have now, and he has blessed me with this community right here. I mean, I grew up in a Christian home, and I had a strong foundation in Christ. I just took that for granted, just because I didn't look like my family and I didn't have a societal normal family. But God kept telling me that I had a purpose. If I didn't have a purpose, then why the heck would I be here? If you guys didn't have a purpose, why would you guys be here? So God gives us a purpose even if we don't know what it is or if we don't see it. God knows our lives. Like, he knows what we're gonna be doing 20 years in the future, 30 years in the future. So put your faith in him. Like, trust God that he has a plan and a purpose for you, and just put your faith in him, because he's got you. Like, he's not going to let you go. We're the children of God, and he adopts us into his family, just like he gave me the parents that adopted me into theirs. So thank you. All right, we're going to do another song, so if you what? Dang it.
I knew what I was doing there. I really did. Hello, everyone. My name is Evan. And today, I get the opportunity to share one of my testimonies with you guys. And this isn't a testimony about how I met Jesus, but a testimony about how Jesus strengthened my relationship with my brother. So this year, I'm a graduating senior. Crazy, I know. So that means this was my last mission trip. And this year, with this being my last mission trip, this was actually both my younger brother's first mission trip. So it was their first and my last, right? And it was the only time that we were able to all go together. So when I was younger, and I mean, you know, in the past, I've kind of struggled with like bonding with my younger brothers. And I've always seen this like bond that they've had with each other. And I've always like wanted that, but I just never really knew how to get that or how to find that with them. So before we went on this trip, you know, I kind of had that hope in the back of my mind that okay, maybe this is a time that I can bond with them. So we went out on this trip, and we had one of these nights where it was a prayer night, right? So they got the room all set up, they dimmed the lights down, they had a cross there in the middle. Everybody was just around, you know, sitting on the ground, and we were praying for ourselves, and we were praying for other people, you know. And during this time, I was praying for Sean and Connor, and I was thanking God for how much, like, he has stretched them and opened them up during this time, just, like, how much they have come out of their shell, and just seeing that was really cool. So I was kind of just thanking God for that, and then as I was praying for Sean, he actually came up and asked if he could pray for me. So, of course, you know, I said yes. So then Sean started praying for me, and then we just had this really cool moment of connection right there. And then after we got done praying, we both went up and went over to my youngest brother, Connor, and all three of us kind of sat down and just prayed with each other and for each other. And we got this just really cool moment to kind of tell each other, you know, how much we loved each other, which isn't really something, you know, we're three dudes. We don't do that, you know. So that was really cool, you know, and it was just this really cool opportunity through prayer and through God to really kind of strengthen that bond that I kind of didn't really have with Sean and Connor. So it was just a really cool opportunity and in a cool way that God strengthened my bond with my brothers.
Okay, so now we're going to do the other song. So if you could stand up. My bad. Oh my.
There's nothing worth more that could ever nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free, my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit.
And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts
Sing it out. Holy Spirit.
Everybody. I'm Cameron, and my testimony is basically about how God has strengthened my relationship with him through hard times. Have you guys ever had something that you prayed for and God answered? So when my mom was pregnant and my biological dad found out, all I could think about was how he was unqualified, how he couldn't raise a child. He was too young. He had too much life left to live. And all of his friends kind of convinced him of the same thing. So he decided he wasn't going to be a part of my life. And who I came to know as my dad came into my life when I was about 3 years old, but he was in my life about 3 months, but they got married when I was three. And it was in like third grade or so that I found out that the man that I had come to know as my dad wasn't my dad. And that was confusing, because I was like, what do you mean? Like, this man that's been there my whole life isn't? And then there's a little bit of excitement, because I was like, ooh, this means two birthday parties, right? But and I just kind of had this perfect picture of just these two families coming together and being able to go to one or the other and just having like two amazing support systems in my life. I met my bio dad, I think, a year after I found out about him. And when I met him, it was super awkward. And I didn't know how to talk to him as like this little fourth grader. I'm like, what do you mean this is supposed to be the man? That's my dad, like, no. And my mom asked me, like, do you want to keep seeing him? Do you want to get to know him? And I said no. I'm like, this is weird. This is too awkward. I can't handle this. I have a perfectly, like, amazing dad already. Like, I don't need him right now. So that's kind of how it was. I heard from him like twice a year, and that was that. And I think it was probably my freshman year that I had the urge to reach out to him again. So we started talking, and within like the first 24 hours, I found out that he had a girlfriend and that she was pregnant. And I felt like really hurt and really betrayed, because I was like, you can raise a family with her, but like couldn't stick around for me. So that was really difficult for me. And after that, we just kind of stopped talking. And I heard from him again a couple months later on my birthday. And we got into a big fight, and that was that. And I remember my mom telling me, I either need to choose to pursue a relationship with him and know that I might get hurt, or I need to completely stop, because the emotional strain was like way too much for me and I couldn't handle it. And I remember, I'm like, I don't wanna cut ties, because what if down the road, or what if this could happen? So I just kinda left it. And that's when I really started praying, because I'm like, I can't handle this. I need help. So I just started praying and praying, and slowly God kind of started to fill that hole in my heart that he had left. like those feelings of not being enough, of being unworthy, like how could someone leave a baby? So through prayer, God healed that hole in my heart. And the following October, I reached out to him. And since then, I've been able to have a relationship with him, been able to have a relationship with my baby sister, and just get to be a part of their life. And one verse that has really stuck out to me throughout all of high school has been Psalm 147, 3. It says, "He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds." My biological dad left a hole in my heart, and I called on God because I needed him to intervene. I couldn't do it. So he came into my life, he filled up that hole, and now I can have a relationship with not only my biological father, but I've also strengthened my relationship with my heavenly father. Thank you.
Hi there, my name's Sam. So this is a testimony I've kind of shared before, but I have kind of a new, like, message that God gave me to kind of share about it. So in my life, like, throughout high school, we've always done these mission trips, and it's been one of my, like, absolute favorite things to do. Like, it's what brings me joy in my life. It's what, like, makes me feel the most connected with God and connected with the people in our group. And I've always just, like, I'm always so excited for them. Like, as soon as they end, I'm always, like, waiting for the next one, like, even though it's, like, next year. But I'm always immediately excited for it. But one year, we were going to San Francisco to do one of our mission trips with YWAM, a mission adventures thing. And I remember, even though I was so, so excited, I was just, like, super ready for it. Like, I had been thinking about it for weeks. When I finally got there, for some reason, I had this, like, overwhelming feeling of anxiety, of, like, sadness, and I couldn't explain it. Like, there's no way to explain it or, like, for me to understand it, because it came out of nowhere. Like, I would be, like, hanging out with friends and stuff, and then all of a sudden I would just feel super anxious, and I had no way to, like, understand it. And I remember it got to the point where I was just so torn up, and I just felt so, like, bad. We were all gathered in a room, like, playing music and having fun and singing and stuff, and I was just sitting there, and I just, like, I was just so out of it and didn't want to be there. So I kind of, like, retreated away and pulled myself into, like, this back bathroom, and I was, like, crying, and I was, like, just so overwhelmed, like, looking at myself in the mirror, just, like, completely torn apart. And I remember, as I was staring at myself in this mirror, I kept asking myself questions like, who are you? Like, why are you here? You know, I was asking these negative, self-deprecating questions, like a lot of people who have experienced anxiety, which I'm sure, like, tons of you have. Those are the kinds of things that you go through. I was asking myself these questions, like, who are you? Like, why are you here? Like, what are you doing? And I remember I just kept on answering myself to these things. I kept on answering myself with things like, oh, you're, like, dumb, or you're stupid, or, like you shouldn't even be here. I kept answering myself. And then I remember, as I was just sitting there, at one point I paused, and I felt like at that moment God was there, and he was answering my questions for me. I remember thinking in that moment, like, what are you saying to me, God? But as I would ask these questions, like, who are you? I felt like I could hear God responding to me, like, you are my son. And as I said, why am I here? He said, you are here to complete my mission for you. And even though sometimes maybe you can't hear God speaking to you directly, because that's not always what happens, sometimes you can relate these questions that you're asking of yourself in, like, an anxious or depressing, like, time in your life. You can relate them to the Bible. You can compare them. You can find the words that God has given to you, God has given to all of us, that directly correlate to those questions you have for yourself. So I don't know why Christians in the modern day think it's their responsibility to answer these questions. It is not our responsibility. That is not something that we are required to do. When you ask these things like, why am I here? It's not your job to figure out why you're here. It's not your job to figure out this purpose on the earth, your purpose on the earth. That's God's job. So stop asking these questions and letting your own mind fill out these answers for yourself, like, oh, I'm dumb or whatever, because that is not what God has for you. And if you relate it to the Bible and you read the Bible, God will make that clear to you. And that's what he made clear to me. God started answering my questions. And I still suffer with anxiety. I still struggle with it every single day, all the time. But if rather than just shutting out God and just listening to yourself, if you take a second, you take a moment and you either wait for God to respond to you, or you dive into the Bible and see what God has said to you, then you can truly start to heal. And thank you. That's all I have.
Okay, we're going to do another song.
All right. Well, who's loving hearing testimonies this morning? Yeah. Woo. Hey, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to actually bring up a panel to tell us a little more about this trip. But let me just pray real quick. God, you get the glory for everything that's been done, everything that's happening in our students, in this church, in our world. All good things come from you. And we just stop and say thank you. Your name is worthy of praise. Your name is worthy of glory, God. I pray you continue to bless this morning as students come up and share a little glimpse into our 12-day adventure. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite the panel to come on up. Come on up. And they're going to share little glimpses into our 10 days away. And Ben, I think you're first. Here you go.
Hello, I'm Ben. And I'm part of the panel, and we're just here to talk about our time on the trip. And I'm a senior, so I've been on three of these trips with this wonderful group. Not all of them, because, you know, underclassmen, but it's still great. And these trips have always been really important to our group, because we just get to, like, bond and grow in Jesus, but we really saw, like, the divide between the under and upperclassmen, because COVID didn't allow us to go on our trip last year. So we really needed this trip as a group. And it always grows us so much closer, and we just have so much more fun afterwards, after the trips. Every day we got to spend time with Jesus, and it was awesome. Like, it was just so refreshing. Like, every day on the camp part of the trip, we had two pretty much church services, and we got to worship and learn, and that was great. We also had alone time with Jesus as well, and that was just awesome, just to sit there and be with him and, you know, work through some plans that they had set out for us. And never once did I get tired of, you know, spending time with Jesus. It was just refreshing. The only thing I missed about home while on this trip was the lack of mosquitoes, to be honest, because we just got eaten up. But just spending so much time with this group and with God, I didn't really think about home, because we were just always going. And it wasn't like a hard going, but we were just always going. It was exhausting, but it was a good exhausting. We were just able to spend so much time together, and that was just a blessing. And sure, we got to, you know, help people out while we were at the Cascade and share Jesus with them, but I think the real wonder is our growth with each other and with Jesus.
The phone was a good idea. I got my old math notebook. So, hi, I'm Isaac. Hi, James. Hi, Ben. This was my first missions trip. So I don't have some super impactful moment that happened to me, like one individual moment that's super significant that I'm sharing, but I just wanted to talk about how the trip affected, there we go, how the trip affected me and probably some others overall. I came into it thinking that it'd be a good time and that I'd have fun with friends, but I left really understanding what God had planned for me more than I ever had, and that was also pretty refreshing, but it was such a good time, and I want to get into it. When we arrived at camp, it looked kind of small, and I didn't really expect that much from it, but as we got there, we were welcomed with open arms by an amazing staff that was super involved. I really appreciate all of them. They made it such a great trip at camp. But while we were there, we climbed a mountain, or some of us climbed a mountain. We invented a couple new games, which are a little too complex to talk about, I think. But we just had some great conversations with each other and with God. But I think most importantly, we all felt the presence of God on this trip. And I think that was just such an amazing feeling. There was a couple nights at camp where we would just spend the whole night talking to each other, talking to God, we're praying. And one of these nights was a night by the fire pit where there was lots of people that stood up and shared pretty moving testimonies, and that was an amazing night. But the night I wanted to focus on, because it impacted me the most, was a prayer night that we did. I think Evan talked about it. But they just told us to walk into this room and pray or talk to God and just kind of be there. We were there for a couple hours, right? Yeah, it took a long time, but it was worth it. And it was kind of hard to describe the atmosphere of that room and how it felt, but maybe some people who were there with me might feel the same way, but it was just really powerful and moving, and it felt great to be in there, and it was, yeah, it, It was moving. I got to pray. Lots of people, including myself, got to pray. Got up, were called to pray for other people. I think that was such a great thing. We spent time talking to God. And this was probably a pivot point for me, for my faith, because I really didn't. I came in having doubts about God and my faith, and I left the trip and that room having most of them. My doubts mostly were gone, pretty much all of them, which is just so amazing because that's like a weight lifted off, and that felt great. Another thing we did over this trip, Ben talked about it, was PBJ time, and PBJ stands for Prayer, Bible, and Journal, and we do that every morning. We take like an hour out of the morning, and we would read the Bible, journal our thoughts on the passage and on our day, and then we'd pray for the day, pray for other people if we wanted to. It's just, it was a great time, and I'm really excited to bring that into my personal life because that was such a good thing to help get me ready for the morning, just for the day and for your faith. It's such a good habit to have, and I'm going to start doing that. I'd recommend that to everybody. But this definitely won't be my last missions trip. Besides the super impactful things that happened to me during this trip, I got closer with friends, had such a great time, and this was just such an amazing opportunity for me. I'm super grateful for everyone in C3 that made this happen. And I'm grateful for the YWAM staff, the folks over in Idaho. They were great. I'm thankful for all of our leaders here at the youth group that made this such an amazing time. And I'm thankful for James for setting it up. But I'm especially thankful to God, because all glory goes to God, and he made this whole thing happen. And I'm so grateful to him. And yeah, that was it.
Hi, my name is Katie, and I'm going to share a bit about what God did in my life over the trip. So this was my first missions trip, and I was honestly really excited for the trip in the beginning, and I wasn't nervous at all. But then we got to the YWAM base, and I did end up getting a little nervous because I realized we were actually there, and there was no going back at that point. So we got there, and I think we had about 2 speakers a day or so. And when the speaker would talk, I feel like I definitely engaged more and more each time. And even though I was exhausted some of the days, I would just look forward to when he would talk. And then instantly, I wasn't really tired because I just wanted to hear everything he was talking about. So overall, he was just an amazing speaker, and I really took a lot away from what he said. One of the things he said that definitely stuck with me was, don't hide your light under a table. And basically, like, what's the point of having a light if you're going to put it under a table where it can't be seen? So you shouldn't hide your faith. God just wants us to share our faith and not hide it under the table. Also, I remember one of the last days at the YWAM camp, he said something about there being a prayer night, but he also said something about how you will feel the presence of God if you want to, or something like that. It was kind of hard to tell, like, exactly, because there was a lot said. But in my mind, I was thinking, yeah, maybe some people will, but not really me, because I've heard people say that before, and it didn't necessarily happen to me. So as we came into the room the prayer night, I came in thinking I would participate, but nothing was really going to happen. So I came in, and I sat down, and I just felt God speaking to me and just giving me so many answers to things. And after that, I just felt like God gave me the courage so I could actually pray for people, which I really wanted to do, and that was already a big change for me because before that, I was kind of terrified to pray for people out loud. Like, I probably only prayed for 1, maybe 2 people the entire year. And all of a sudden, I just wanted to go pray for everyone. So anyways, I asked God who I should pray for, and there were a few different people I did end up praying for. But basically, that night was just super powerful, and I definitely feel like I have more of a relationship with God now. Like, I always knew him since I was really little and everything, but I never necessarily felt like I had a really close relationship with him. But now that definitely changed, and I actually want to keep growing in him, even if it kind of scares me a lot sometimes. I actually want to take the opportunities way out of my comfort zone because I know God wouldn't give me those opportunities if I couldn't do it. So that was just an amazing trip, and it helps me grow in God so much, and I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah, the phone was definitely a good idea. But hello, my name is Sean, and I'm going to be sharing my experience with my with the missions trip. And this was my first missions trip because last year's got postponed because of COVID and everything. But I was really excited going into it because I didn't really know what to expect, but I was ready to do anything, really. So I was ready for the missions trip. And we started off at a camp near Warm Lake where we learned lots and really built a connection with God. And the camp was basically like a training for what we were going to go do down in Cascade. But it was still fun, and we learned a lot. So fast forward to when we were down at Cascade, we were going to do some evangelism, and we were going to go to a lake where a fireworks show was happening. And we were going to go talk to different people there and everything, and it was going to be great. And before we left, we each got handed a piece of paper labeled Treasure Hunt. And so what we did is we all prayed and asked God for someone specific to pop into our heads. And we wrote it down on the paper, which had a bunch of different questions, you know, like what's his name or her name going to be? What would they be wearing? Stuff like that. And me knowing how my mind works and just thinking of random thoughts all the time, I didn't really have high hopes for finding a specific person I randomly thought of in my head. So, but I ended up with a guy named Mike wearing a green and white striped shirt and cargo shorts. And I remember on the way down to, I'm a little nervous, I'm shaking kind of bad. And I remember on the way down to the lake, I was praying to God. I'm like, God, I'm not doubting you here, but I really don't think this is going to work. This is like a random thought I had in my head of a random person. This is like a one in a million chance right here. But once we got down to the lake, we were sharing the gospel, praying for people, talking to people. It was really good. And when we were about to wrap things up, we saw a group of people sitting by the lake ready for the fireworks show to start. And one of them was wearing a green and white striped shirt and cargo shorts. So we're like, you know what, might as well, let's go talk to these people and see what's up. And so we went over, we were like, hey, can we go talk to you guys for a second? And an older guy who was there said, he was like, yeah, well, I'm about what? And we told them, you know, we're down from Shelton, Washington, and we're here spreading the gospel and just sharing our faith and everything. And we had a little bit of a conversation, and then at the end, I asked him, hey, is there anything we could pray for you guys about? And he was like, yeah, actually, so the older guy said, yeah, my daughter actually has been diagnosed with a terminal illness. And obviously, that's really sad, and we were all sorry for him, and we prayed for him. We prayed for him, his daughter, and his family. And towards the end of the prayer, after we finished praying, I talked to the person right next to him real quick who was wearing the, you know, the green and white striped shirt and cargo shorts. I was like, hey, what's your name real quick? And he's like, hi, my name's Mike. I'm his son. And I was just like, all right, what's up with that? And then I was like, I was super shook about what just happened. And I showed him my piece of paper. I actually still have that piece of paper right here. With and I was like, yeah, so actually I wrote down that your name would be Mike, we'd be wearing this outfit and everything, and that we need to pray for something. So it turns out we were praying for Mike's sister, who has been diagnosed with terminal illness, and it was just such a huge blessing, and I was shook for the rest of the night. And I remember kind of walking away from that, and I was just kind of like praying in my head, just like, well, there's no doubting you now, you know? It felt like God was like kind of looking down, you know, brushing off his shoulder, you know, just like, mm-hmm. And yeah, it was really fun and a really cool experience. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
I've called.
We're going to be singing Beautiful Things. Before we start, though, in that video, when you see us playing This Is Amazing Grace, you know, and it kind of stops for the video part, it was the coolest thing right on the bridge when it's doing, like, the worthy part. All of a sudden, like, thunder went off super loudly and, like, shook the whole boat. It was crazy. It was so cool. Anyway, I just wanted to share that because I thought that was a cool little detail. But, yeah, let's do this. Yeah, please stand.
You make beautiful things. You make
Reckless Love.
I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. But I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah.
How's your foe?
I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Shadow, you won't light up. You won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down.
One more time.
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
One more time.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, till you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Are you guys encouraged by the students this morning? Can we give them another hand? So the testimonies that we heard at the beginning of service, we heard four of them. What you guys don't know is that the students actually had a testimony workshop at the camp where each and every one of the students prepared these stories to then go out and share with strangers in the community. Isn't that so inspiring? Every single one of these students had a story that they prepared to share. Some of them had multiple stories. And I want that to inspire us. We all have stories to share. And so I want to challenge us, as we pray and dismiss this morning, I want to challenge us to find our story and to go out this week and to tell somebody about it. Can we all do that? Can we follow the examples of the students? Can we do that? Awesome. Well, let's pray, and then we're going to be dismissed. God, I thank you that you are still moving. God, that you have given each and every one of us a story to share. God, I thank you for the gospel. I thank you for the truth of Jesus, God. And I just pray that this would be a catalyst moment, that we would be emboldened to go out and share our faith. That all of us adults, we would follow the examples of the students who were so brave this last week. God, and I pray that we would share our faith and our stories here so that you will be glorified more and more in Mason County. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome, guys. Well, on your way out, I want to encourage you, if you see somebody wearing a red shirt like this, ask them how their trip was. Ask them questions and get them talking. Thank you guys for being here.